Luke chapter 5. I said to Pastor Frank Bailey, if I'd have known he was going to be here, I'd have him preaching because of our pulpit speech class. He came behind me in the alphabet, but was far beyond me in ability. And Brother Frank was just a great challenge to the rest of us in pulpit speech. We had a great class, and I reflect on our teacher and what he taught us, and the messages that we preached. And you know, back in pulpit speech, Brother Frank and I preached most of the time together. Abby Bailey, we sat together in several classes. I think we might have actually been called down in a class, and I think we were called down inadvertently. We weren't actually talking, but I think the teacher misunderstood us or something. But, you know, it's always the teacher's fault. We had some good times. And I remember being in class, and I'd think to myself, 10 minutes? I think our class messages, we'd normally have three guys preach in a class period, and our messages would be at least like 10 to 12 minutes. And I thought, my goodness, what am I going to say for 10 to 12 minutes? And now I pastor a congregation, and all of you are saying, oh, that you would just speak for 10 to 12 minutes and fill those things. I said, now we're filling up much more than that. But very, very blessed by the memories that I had at BJ, and great, great friendships from that time frame of my life. Luke chapter number 5, we are, in fact, you'll get a kick out of this, Pastor Bailey. This is my third message from this text, so it wouldn't even be 10 minutes, all right? So you'll like that. All right, Luke chapter number 5, I want to rehearse where we've been in these previous verses and the individuals that we've seen thus far. The Bible says in Luke chapter 5, verse number 27, "And after these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi, sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, Follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him." We looked extensively at this convert, the nature of his life, the choices that he had made, the direction that he was headed, and yet the Lord Jesus Christ changed his life. And the Bible says he left all, rose up, and followed him. We come to verse number 29, and right on the heels of this calling from the Lord Jesus Christ, Levi begins to look around at those companions that he had in the publican trade. And he says, you know what? These individuals need the same thing that I have received from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Bible says in verse number 29, "Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them." So he turned his attention to those that stood in great need, these individuals that also needed the Lord Jesus Christ. And we spent a good amount of time considering our own opportunities for investment in lives around us. It may be family members, it may be friends, it may be coworkers, it may be neighbors, but you and I all have a circle of opportunity, a circle of influence. We all have our own Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and our own uttermost part of the earth. And so Levi looked around and said, I have companions that need the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he made a great feast and he invited them all to come. And lo and behold, the Lord Jesus Christ had the opening opportunity there to present them with their need as well. Which brings us to these last three verses here in this section. And the Bible says, "But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." I want to ask God's blessings upon our time, and we've discussed the matter of the convert, verses 27 and 28. We've looked at the matter of the crowd there in verse number 29, and this morning we move on to the critics that are found in verses 30 to 32. Let's ask God's blessings upon our time this morning. Father, thank you for the opportunity that we have to stand and read the Word of God, that we have an opportunity to hold in our hands a copy of this blessed book. You've been so very good to us here in this country. You've blessed us with great freedom. And I pray that we would appreciate that freedom even today. Lord, I pray that we would witness and testify in freedom of all that Jesus Christ has done and meant to us. And I pray that we take the opportunities that are presented to us to reach the crowd around us. It may be a coworker that we've been with for 10, 12, 15 years. And they've never one time heard us proclaim that Jesus Christ is the answer for our life. It may be that we've lived in the same neighborhood for a dozen or more years, and we've had the same neighbors around us, and they've never one time heard from us on the matter of the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you'd stir believers to see, as Levi saw, the needs of the people that he interacted with every day. And Lord, I do pray that as the Lord Jesus Christ meets with us here this morning, that he'd bring conviction to the heart, that the Holy Spirit of God would drive home the need. And if there are those today that stand in their own righteousness, I pray this morning that they would be converted and come to the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for those that have gathered. We pray that each one would see themselves as they truly are before a holy God this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We come to these critics here in verses 30 to 32. You would believe, or you would think, that everybody would be excited that the publicans were getting the message of truth. You would think that they would be excited that one publican had changed his ways and was now going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You would think that this would change the nature of the community, as the publicans were so well known for their theft or their legal plunder, if you would, as it related to the taxation of the people. And yet you find some religious individuals that were there to criticize both the Lord Jesus Christ, his actions, and, of course, his disciples. So I want to walk through these three verses and see what we might learn from these critics and see what we might apply to each life this morning. Would you take your Bibles and go back just a few verses before this, because I want you to see a pretty significant verse as it relates to our story here in verses 30 to 32. Look in verse 17 of chapter 5. The Bible says in verse 17, now again, this is on the heels of the momentum of the Lord Jesus Christ's fame growing and growing and growing. The local hierarchy of the religious community begins to say to themselves, hey, this guy's bigger than we can handle. So we need to call in the big guns from our religious headquarters, and we need them to come down and squash the influence of this Jesus of Nazareth. Look at verse number 17. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by. Look at these next words. Which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. So as the fame of Christ grows, the local hierarchy could not handle and suppress his influence over the people, so they've called in the big guns from Galilee, from Judea, from Jerusalem. These are the individuals that are now bringing pressure to the circumstances that we find in this story. One commentator said it this way: the scribes and the Pharisees were scandalized by the Lord's utter disregard for political correctness and their rigidly enforced religious taboos. The local scribes and Pharisees, nervous enough under the cynical stares of their more sophisticated Judean colleagues, were embarrassed and humiliated by this whole affair. They held Jesus in considerable awe, however, so instead of challenging him, they picked on his disciples, and we're going to see that in verse number 30. And they said, "Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners?" So now we have the local crowd that's a critic. We find that they've pulled in the big guns for this whole matter, And you'll see in these next verses that there are actually five attacks. Five attacks that they have against the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we look at all of this in context, we see, first of all, that they attack the Lord's power to forgive sin. That's in the verses just before this text and the call of Levi. Do you remember the man that was let down from the rooftop and they doubted the Lord's ability to forgive sin? The Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ healed him and forgave his sins. They attack his power to forgive sin. Now they're attacking his association with sinners. How dare you be involved with this sinful crowd? In the coming passage, they're going to attack the disciples on fasting. And they're going to say, well, why don't you and your disciples fast? And the Lord has an explanation for it. The fourth one is going to come in the next chapter, and they're going to attack his disciples as they work on the Sabbath day. And we'll look at that work in the Sabbath day in the weeks ahead. And then they're going to attack the Lord Jesus Christ for healing on the Sabbath. So we find all of these attacks. We find their hatred against the Lord Jesus Christ. And we go in deeper on these three verses then. And the Bible says, they attack the disciples saying, why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? Why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. The first thing we find about these critics is that they were blinded to the need in their own life. They're blinded to the need in their own life. You see, my friend, they loved their own righteousness. They loved the fact that they had memorized the law. They loved the fact that they, to the best of their abilities, adhered to all of the letter of the law. They loved the fact that in religious things, they were above everyone else around them. There's an interesting story in Luke chapter 18. It's quite a few chapters away, so I know you will forget about me mentioning it this morning by the time we get there. The Bible says in Luke 18, two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, the other a publican. Now listen to this prayer. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. This is his prayer. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Boy, what a tremendous prayer. If I were praying that prayer and my mother overheard me, she would make a statement like this. Can your hand reach your back? Maybe your mom said something like that too. She always thought we were giving ourselves self-gratification. And we're just gratifying ourselves and saying, my, aren't we something? And again, I remind you, this was his prayer, supposedly, to Almighty God. These men are blinded by the need in their own life. The Word of God tells us, though, the truth in Titus chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, listen to this, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. My friend, we will never be good enough to gain heaven. There are so many in this world today that believe in their own eyes that they'll arrive at the pearly gates and Peter will be standing there and Peter will take their good works and weigh them up against their bad works, and so long as their good works outweigh their bad works, they'll be good to go. And Peter will give entrance into heaven. Do you know that the best of me is nothing but filthy rags. The best of anything that I have done in my own righteousness is nothing but deserving of an eternity lost in a place called hell. There is nothing in and of myself that I could do to have God give favor to my life and say, you know what? I'm going to let him enter heaven. And I've said this before, and it bears repeating. If we arrived in heaven because of our own merit, heaven would be no place to be. We couldn't tolerate it for more than 30 seconds. You say, Pastor, why do you say that? You know what it's like to be around someone that is so arrogant about the good things that they do. You can't take it. You're like, get me away from these people. I can't take all of this arrogance. What would heaven be like if we arrived there and began to tell everyone why we deserve it to be there and how the others just barely scrape by? But my friend, entrance into heaven will be so wonderful because all of us will have the same story. I'm here by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He saved my soul. He washed my sins away. I did not deserve this, but Jesus so loved me that he came and gave his life for me, that if I would put my faith and trust in him alone, I could gain heaven as my eternal home. And through the ages, we will sing, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. They were blinded to the need in their own life. But number two, they were not only blinded to the need in their own life, but sadly, they were blinded to the need in the lives of others. Look what the Bible says here. The Pharisees murmured against his disciples, "Why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners?" Their philosophy was, stay away and let them watch you from a great distance, lest you get any of their sin on you. But Jesus made it very clear, they're sick and they're in need of a physician. The Bible says, I came not to call the righteous. This is those that are in self-righteousness. The one who would declare himself to be fine. But the Bible says he came to call sinners to repentance. They're blinded to the need in their own life. They see themselves as fine. And yet the day will come that they will die in their own religion and spend an eternity apart from Almighty God. But I want you to notice two other important things as they're blinded to the need in others, the lives of others. Would you notice two important statements that are there in the end of this verse? And this comes from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says he came to call sinners to repentance. Sinners to repentance. My friend, this morning, you must understand that all men are born in sin. Unless a person comes to that point of understanding that they are, in fact, a sinner, they'll never come to the place where they realize that they need a Savior. You might say to someone out on door-to-door visitation or in your workplace or interacting in your neighborhood, you might say to them, do you know that you need Jesus Christ? And their response might be, you know what? I've never sinned one time in my life. I've never murdered. I've never committed adultery. I've never done evil things. And my friend, that person will never see their need of the Savior until they understand, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's where we all find ourselves. The Bible says there are wages to be paid for our sin. Why? Because we're all in the same boat without the Lord Jesus Christ. Take the name of every single man-made religious leader out there, and do you know what, my friend? They're all sinners in need of a Savior. Every pastor, every priest, every bishop, every pope, every single one of us is in the same boat in that we need a Savior to save us from our sins. You see, this is true of every religion that man has come up with every founder of every religion. If they died in their sins without the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says they go into a Christless eternity. I'm not just talking about the ones standing in the Baptist pulpit. I'm not talking about just the ones in the denominational pulpit, the ones in the cults and all those things. I'm saying all of us are sinners in need of the Savior. So what's the difference? Look at the second word. The Bible says he calls sinners to repentance. You know, my friend, we're living in a day in which people don't want to talk about repentance. They want to talk about cleaning up their act. They want to talk about cleaning up their life. They want to live their life as though if they clean up this act that they've got, that they can give themselves to Jesus Christ, and then he won't have to do much to save them. Because pretty much the work's already been done. No, my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ says again and again, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. I understand that repentance is not just a change of direction by 10 degrees, by 20 degrees. It is turning my back on sin. It is turning my back on my own way. It is saying the way I was headed is the way of death. It is the broad way that leads to destruction. And I turn and I go towards Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul had to do this with religion. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, listen, if religion gets anyone to heaven, then I'm headed there. But I've turned my back on all of that, and he says, I count it as dung that I might win Christ. Now, it's entirely possible in the number that we have here this morning, that there's one or more people here today that has an entire foundation that's been built on religion. You have an entire foundation that's been built on a denomination. You have an entire foundation that's been built on a religious person. But my friend, can I direct your attention to this passage again and help you to see that you were in the boat of sin? And I rehearse the verse again, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. It is only found in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It would be a shame for you to live your life entirely for your religion. I cannot begin to tell you how difficult it is to see those individuals steeped in their religion, doing all manner of things that they might earn their place in heaven. They span the globe. They cut themselves. They go on pilgrimages. They do all manner of things to themselves and cost all manner of things to their family in hopes that they will gain eternal life. When the Word of God simply says, repent and believe. Jesus Christ paid it all to him I owe. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ was the sinless one that gave himself for sinful mankind. And he says, I came not to call the righteous. Look, as long as you're steeped in your own religiosity, I won't bother you. You do not understand that you are actually sick and in terrible shape. But until you understand that you're a sinner in need of a Savior, nothing's ever going to change. He says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Isn't it a shame that a religious leader could know so much of the Old Testament law and the fact that the Old Testament is pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet the Lord says about these religious leaders in Matthew 23 and verse number 15, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass the sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. They span their area to reach one more. And when they've reached one more proselyte, they become so steeped in their religious works, they're on that broad road that leads to destruction. So what is the answer? The Bible says, Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. This morning, if you are dealing with a difficult illness, and you came to me and said, Pastor, I'm just in miserable condition. And I say to you this morning, and I say, hey, we've got a doctor here in the midst, and he can help. And you'd respond to me and say, no, I'll make it my own path. I'll be okay. No, let me take a few more days and see if I can't take care of it myself. And you left the facilities and passed away. And that physician was right there. I have no doubt in my mind everyone would think him a fool. There's something even more significant than your physical well-being this morning. And it is your spiritual eternity. Life everlasting. If you depart from this place today and you've breathed your last breath here on this earth, where will you go? The Bible says there's only one of two destinations, either heaven or hell. And this morning, I would like to introduce you to the great physician. You see, there's something greater than being healed from that physical issue that you may have been dealing with for so many years. And that issue is the issue of sin. In just a moment, we will have a time of invitation. And as the Holy Spirit brings conviction to your heart and says, you know, the preacher's talking to you. You've been in the church house over and over again. You've been a moral person. You've been a good person. But the one thing you've never done is to have your sins forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ. Then, my friend, today's the day to meet the physician. Have a one-on-one meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ and let His Word heal you for all eternity. This past week, we were making a visit. We stopped off to visit Norm and Sylvia Dodge. And Brother Norm had gone in for some procedures and so forth, kind of outpatient surgery. And so he was home. He was back home, and so we had the chance to stop by. And Brother Kyle and I walked into the house, and as we walk into the house, Brother Norm is sitting there, and we had the opportunity to interact with him. And for those of you that know Norm and Sylvia, there's a number of health issues that they face. But Miss Sylvia said to me, she said, I would like you to go downstairs, and I want you to meet our nephew. And I didn't know him, didn't know anything about him, but she said, I'd like you to go downstairs and meet our nephew. And so after we chatted for a little while with Brother Norm and so forth, and I kind of got updated on his needs and everything like that, we went downstairs. And as we walked downstairs, we found their nephew. He's a 62-year-old man, confined to a wheelchair, dealing with health issues, I believe, almost since the time of birth. And his body is definitely taking a toll. The physical issues have taken a toll, and he's confined to a wheelchair and really only has use of his right index finger on his right hand, but he's able to get around in a motorized wheelchair. And upon the initial meeting of a guy like that, boy, I wish we could heal today. I wished I had power to heal. It'd be so incredible to interact with a person like that as the Lord Jesus did over and over again. As we've been here in the book of Luke and we've seen so many of these people that have been healed, my mind just immediately raced to those stories of the Lord. And I thought immediately, man, I wished I could heal this guy. Number one, I could not believe he was 62 years old. I think both of us were shocked by that. He did not appear to be at that stage of life, but he says, I'm 62. And for the better part of his life, he's only had movement in his right index finger and his ability with his head and eyes and everything like that. And as I was sitting there for just a few moments, I thought, boy, I wish I could heal this guy physically. But I tell you what, he carries such a sweet testimony of his love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it dawned on me, I cannot heal this man physically, but he's already received the greatest of healing that will ever be. And he had such a sweet way about him. There wasn't an ounce of anger in him. They gave testimony of the fact that he never misses services. He's always in church. He had such a joy in his life. And I thought to myself, there's only one that can bring that change. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, my dear friend, you may believe yourself to be in perfect condition physically, but if you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, you, my friend, are one of the most ill individuals that are here in this auditorium. And it is our desire on this day to introduce you to the great physician. Jesus came to call sinners to repentance. The individual you see standing before you was in that boat in 1976. And Jesus called my name. He knocked on the door of my heart. And I, as a sinner, repented of my sins and received Jesus as my Savior. If you do not know him today, today's the day to meet the great physician. Let's pray.